Okay, hi. So I don't know if I'm going to go too much into me, but I'm a 7. I'm an Enneagram 7.
Woo!
Woo! So if you guys know about the Enneagram 7s, are try to be joyful all the time. So Cheryl would understand this, that all of life is just one big joy. So if you ask us to like contain it to one thing, it's impossible. And so what I'm going to share with you guys has been especially hard as a 7, just because 7s don't love grief. None of us love grief. But okay, so several years ago, I had heard Beth Moore, hopefully you guys know Beth Moore, she's a teacher, speak about her own story of being a victim of sexual abuse. And about 15 minutes into her talk, she wound down with a story that I will never forget. And I wanted to start tonight by sharing it with you guys. And I'm going to read a little bit from what she said. She said, "Several years ago, after an event, I met a young mother who introduced me to her darling 10-year-old adopted daughter. I love pre-adolescent girls so much, and immediately I leaned over to talk with her when her mother interjected, 'She has a background like yours.' A knife went through my heart because I knew what she had to have meant. I looked at the child's face and she nodded timidly, and I knew as much as I wanted to weep that this was no time for that. It was not what she needed from me. 'Oh my goodness,' I said, 'I'm so sorry, but do you know what this means?' She shook her head, 'No.' 'This means that you get to learn how to be strong in Jesus in a way maybe lots of people won't. You get to learn who you are in him and how precious you are to him, because people like you and me have to in order to have happy, healthy hearts. We get to know Jesus like some people may never bother knowing him. Somebody very wrong made us feel very small, but now we get to learn how to stand really, really tall.'" When we are wounded or we're hurting, we get to know Jesus in ways that we otherwise wouldn't have known him. And I learned this lesson the hard way over the past summer. 3 months ago, Joyce had asked if I would come up here and share and about finding God's goodness in our stories. And I had no idea what the next few months would hold. And since then, everything has changed. In May, my mom, who's my best friend and my number one fan, she was totally fine on the outside. In June, she developed a pain in her upper right side and a low-grade fever. And thinking it was just a pulled muscle and a virus, she waited it out. By July 6th, she was in the ER. And on August 6th, Jesus took her home. She had developed an extremely aggressive form of cancer called cholangiocarcinoma, which is bile duct cancer. My world was shattered, and I felt like I was drowning in grief. The trauma from the past few months is unlike anything that I have ever experienced. And yet, I can also say that God's presence and God's goodness throughout this time is also unlike anything that I have ever experienced. I have learned more in 2 months about God's goodness than I had learned in 2 decades before that. I have learned about his ability to cross chasms of pain in order to get to us. I learned again and again that no chasm of pain is too wide for his healing power to cross. All of us are coming here with something that's burdening us. Maybe it's dealing with church hurt and church abuse. Maybe we are having some mental or physical illnesses. Maybe our friendships or our relationships are fractured. Maybe it's something we've done or we've failed to do. Maybe you're like me, and maybe sometimes you just feel really far from God and you want to be nearer to him. But there's something that I want to tell each of you guys as you begin this retreat, and it's this. Because of what you have gone through, you can experience God in ways that you wouldn't have otherwise. And at the end of the story is this, that you are God's beloved. He will never leave you nor forsake you. You are his beloved. And I want you guys to start this weekend with that in your mind. The creator of the universe loves you, and he made you. Henry Nouwen, in his devotional, You Are the Beloved, writes, "Every time you feel hurt, offended, or rejected, you have to dare to say to yourself, these feelings, strong as they may be, are not telling me the truth about myself. The truth, even though I cannot feel it right now, is that I am the chosen child of God, precious in God's eyes, called the beloved from all eternity, and held safe in an everlasting embrace. So that's the first thing. You are God's beloved. Now, you may not be in a place right now where you have acute hurt or pain, but I can 100% guarantee you that you will at some point, or you have in the past, or you're sitting next to somebody who is, or you know somebody who is. Whatever it is that you are bringing with you tonight, likely there's a part of you that needs healing of some kind. And I want to share with you five truths about God that I have learned over the past few months that I wouldn't have otherwise learned. And my prayer is that you would hold on to these five truths as you seek healing from our good God this weekend. Number one, God's faithfulness is always bigger than our faithlessness. So I'm putting that in quotes there. Because what I'm talking about is any lie that tells us that we aren't good enough or committed enough or lovable enough for God to step in to help us. If I am honest, I have to admit that in June, I didn't feel especially close to God. I'd read my daily Bible verse, I'd do my work for Christian organizations, but I would have never called myself a stellar child of God. And if I'm honest, in July, when all the trauma started with my mom, I was terrified that God wouldn't be near to me. Just like that, God showed up in so many ways to remind me of his faithfulness. Through scripture verses, through flowers, through friends, through worship, through cookies, and through tears. And lots and lots and lots and lots of tears. What I learned was that even when we feel far from God, God is never far from us. In a heartbeat, he's going to jump in and he's going to save the day. During the past few months, the waters of grief overwhelmed me, and at times it felt like God just wasn't keeping me above the water. But he tried, and today I can say that he's winning. It's a day-by-day battle, but he's winning. Number two is, you matter to God. When I began to realize that the climb out of cancer was too big for my mom, I looked at something called the world-o-meter. Don't look it up, it's very depressing. It's basically, it measures numbers of births and deaths and all that kind of stuff. And I had read that two people die every second in this world. So two, four, six. And my mind was reeling because to me, my mom was the world. And yet how could that be true of God when so many people are being born, dying, hurting every single second? How could he hold it all together? Psalm 24 tells us that God holds the whole world in his hands. And I knew this to be true from a Bible perspective. I'd heard the stories of Hagar and the woman at the well and of Ruth. But as I sat, overcome with grief by my mom in her hospital room, he showed me how much he loved her. The chaplain brought a periwinkle rosary for her, not knowing that her favorite color was periwinkle. The nurse wrote a card for her with her favorite verse, Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God, without even knowing that was her favorite verse. And in grief and uncertainty, God does show us how much we matter to him if we have eyes to see it. See, my mom didn't just matter to God, but I mattered to God as well. On the day that she passed away, I laid in my driveway and I looked at the clouds and I was wondering, where in the world is my mom? Where had God taken her? And a little white butterfly came and circled around me, reminding me of God's presence and of my mom's presence. And five times since my mom has passed away, when grief has overwhelmed me, God has brought me a white butterfly to remind me of his presence. Psalm 22 says that he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted, nor has he hidden his face from him. But when he cried to him, he heard. Number three, God's love is revealed in fresh ways when we hurt. There is a line from a song by Kirk Franklin that I love, and the song is called Brighter Days. If you guys have never heard it, take a listen to it. And the intro line is this: I know there's gonna be some brighter days. I swear that love will find you in your pain. I remember the morning like it was yesterday, after lots of tests and pokes, the doctors came in and said those terrible words that you never want to hear, which is, there's nothing more we could do. And he proceeded to tell us of everything that was failing in my mom's body. My mom was coherent enough, even in her pain, to pat the side of her bed. And she whispered to me, come sit with me. And I sobbed and I wrapped my arms around her as she fell into a sleep. My mom had never invited me to sit with her like that before. My mom was full of love in so many demonstrative ways, tough love, great love. She was not ever touchy-feely or huggy. And it was the first time that she had ever invited me to sit close to her like that. God knew that I needed love in a new way. And God knew that she needed mine in a new way. And it was a holy moment. Many of us in this room have been through hurt, maybe recently, maybe it's been years ago. Regardless, we are all probably something that I would call walking wounded. When this happens, God finds new ways to show us his love. In his book, Gentle and Lowly, which is amazing, and it's also on YouVersion, it's a Bible plan if you guys want to check it out, Dane Ortlund writes, the deeper into weakness and suffering and testing we go, the deeper Christ's solidarity with us. As we go down into pain and anguish, we are descending ever deeper into Christ's very heart, not away from it. It's a really incredible thing to realize that the more we suffer, the closer that we draw near to Jesus. And how that happens is often by experiencing love from God and from others in fresh ways. And this is why community is so important and why this retreat is so important in the healing process. It happens over and over that God uses other people to be our healing balm and our safe place. 4, God does uncommon things when we hurt. I don't speak in tongues and I don't get visions. And throughout the last few months, many people have talked to me about heaven, and I even got to speak with my mom about heaven in the last days. And my heart shattered every time because I knew in my head that she was gonna live forever, but my heart was sad and it wasn't making sense. And then she went to be with Jesus, and for weeks and weeks I had panic attacks at night. I had nightmares of death and suffering, and if I'm honest, I still get them sometimes. One night though, a few weeks after my mom had passed away, I shot up like usual with another panic attack, and I screamed at the top of my lungs, and my son came running in, and my husband shot up, and he's asked very concerned, what's wrong, what's wrong? And I just said, my mom's dead. And in an instant, immediately after the words left my mouth, I heard as clearly as I had heard any voice in my whole life say, she's not dead, she's fully alive. The response to my pain was so sudden and clear that I knew it to be more real than anything I had ever experienced. When we come to God in times of pain and uncertainty, when we need healing, God wants to show up for us in ways that we know that it's only him. That's what my prayer is for you guys at this retreat, that as you come to him, you'll hear him in uncommon and amazing ways. 5, God will restore us. I really could just point to one very important scripture verse here, but I am gonna put a little bit of color on it. The verse is 1 Peter 5:10. It's an amazing verse. If you haven't committed it to memory, it would be great to do that. So after you have suffered a little while, he will restore, support, and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. In the early days of my mom getting sick, in July, I had a vision of a foundation of my house crumbling. My mom and dad, because of so much that I had been through in my life, had become my foundation. Soon, however, God began to show me that it wasn't my mom who was my foundation, it was him. The old was crumbling, and an even stronger one was emerging. Behold, I am making all things new, Revelation 21 says, of the days to come. But the great news is that God's restoring grace isn't reserved for the new heaven and the new earth. It's a gift that he offers us now when we are walking wounded. Hosea 6:1 declares, come, let us return to the Lord. He has torn us to pieces, but he will heal us. He has injured us, but he will bind up our wounds. We who have been wounded come here this weekend in the hopes that we will be restored, that somehow God will speak to our hearts in ways that offer us healing. I believe that God will do that for you guys because he has done it to me. I have lived it. I have seen that even when the waves overwhelm us, God will make a way. I started by reminding you that in our pain and uncertainty, we will know Jesus in ways that we wouldn't have otherwise had. I'm sorry that all of us have to come together to seek healing and wholeness tonight because it means that we have all been hurt. And I'm sorry that you are hurting and that you're seeking healing. But I'm also not sorry because I believe that in these kind of moments is when we're going to experience God's faithfulness, God's compassion, God's love, God's mysterious ways, and God's restoration in ways that we otherwise wouldn't have. Like God says of the Apostle Paul, his power is made perfect in our weakness. And because you are God's beloved daughters, he wants to do all of this for you. My prayer is like I have experienced over the past few months that you too would be amazed by just how good God is and how powerfully he can show up for you in these kind of times. May this weekend be a holy, life-giving, and transforming time for all of you.